All right, there we go. All right, good. Well, have you been to church yet? Yeah, amen, right. Did the Lord meet you here, or did you bring him? You brought him. There you go, that's right. He's not sitting in his schoolroom waiting for us to show up, is he? No, that's for sure. So I was thinking, well, I thought a lot this week about a lot of different things, but what do you want to say? What did the Lord want me to say? Talk about? Well, I have a, since everybody's been kind of telling a little joke, I'll tell you one. I'm not it, I hope. But after World War I, Germany had lost that battle, and the countries around there said that they were never going to let them rearm. They couldn't have arms anymore. So when, you know, Adolf Hitler kind of came along and started coming into power, he started to secretly arm Germany again. So he started these different buildings and places to do that. And so, but to cover it up, he called them different things, different plants that made different things. So there's the story of these guys that were working in a plant, and it was a baby carriage plant. So they were working away, and this guy that worked there said to his other buddies, he said, "Hey, you know what? We're going to have a baby, and we need a baby carriage. Would you guys steal some parts, bring them home, and we'll have a baby carriage?" And they said, sure, okay, we'll do that. So over a period of time, they brought all these parts home. So a few days later, they were all out walking around in the park, and they met this guy, and he's scratching his head, and he's kind of wondering what to do. And they said, "Hey, how's it going?" He said, "You know, I put all those parts together twice, and both times they came out a machine gun." I don't know what the moral of that is. I think be careful what you steal. Is that what it is? If you remember years ago, well, some of you don't remember that far back, but Johnny Cash had a song about that many, many years ago. It's probably way before most of your time, but he worked in a car factory back east, and the song goes that every day he'd bring home a part in his toolbox, you know, bring it home in his lunchbox. So at the end of the song, he puts all these pieces together. It took him about, you know, 5, 6, 7 years to get all these parts. Of course, nothing fit together because you had a, you know, 49 this, a 50 that, a 51, 52, and all these different parts. So it was a big job to put it all together. It's a good song. Very interesting. I like that song, "As We Pray." That's kind of my thought today is I labeled it "Pray for Our Leaders," but that's something I think we can all probably say amen to. I was just kind of thinking over that we've been studying the book of Acts and the fulfilling of the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells them that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and all of it, and to the ends of the earth. That's what happened exactly in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit fell on about 120 people that was in the room. We've already had this, studied this, in Acts 2:4. All of them, not some, but all were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, or as he enabled them. I'm not going to speak on Acts today. I just was thinking over that, and so kind of summarized where we've been, and maybe where we're going. The other guys have preached on Acts, and I think they've done a great job. I'm very impressed. Another thing, too, a couple of weeks ago, we had a, which is kind of interesting, we've never had that here, I don't think too much, at least not quite that big here at the church. We had an open mic, remember that? We had kind of an open mic arrangement. That was kind of interesting. And it was to share what God was doing in people's lives. And and if they had a word for somebody or the church. What surprised me the most was that the boys and girls all came up, a good majority of them. I don't know why I was surprised. I was just shocked. It surprised me. And they had a lot of things on their mind. If you remember, they had a lot of things to say. What was bothering them? What was hurting them? And what was on their hearts? And the thing is, each one of them had a prayer for us and the church as a whole. Just, I'm going to pray for you, they said. And they did. I said, wow. So it just kind of surprised me. I just personally was blessed by what they had to say and all the things that they did. That's not easy to get up in front of all of you all and say things and speak. You always think maybe you're going to say something you shouldn't, or, you know, just kind of don't do it. But I just like to thank you parents for, you guys are doing your job. You're doing what God has told you to do. Teach your children. I'm amazed. I shouldn't be amazed, but it's just you are. It's just when I see you guys do the things that, which the Bible says that you're supposed to do, and you do them, I'm amazed. I just thank God for you and that you do that, you know. It's just, so anyway, Scripture declares that our God is a God of love, that God is love. And as such, love has to communicate, right? Those of you that are married, you understand that, or you should understand that, right? Love communicates. Communicates. What does communicate mean? That means to talk to one another. It's not I talk, you listen. It's I talk, I listen, you talk. You know, it's a back and forth conversation. Hopefully good and quiet and peaceful. Right? Communicate. That's what God wants to do. And love will communicate. When God created man, he talked with him in the cool of the day in Genesis, right? He came down every day, talked to Adam and Eve. Spoke to him, talked to him. I wonder what he talked about being that early. I don't know. It's always interesting. You know, Adam didn't have too many duties. His job was pretty simple. Take care of the garden, right? Take care of the garden. And to tend it, to take care of it. And another thing that he was supposed to do that he did not do, and he was supposed to keep the beast of the field out of the garden. Keep them outside. The beasts of the field do not belong in the garden, right? So when you see a snake in the garden, where's he supposed to be? Outside, not in the garden. What should he have done? Send him out. Hey, wrong place. Should have sent him out. He didn't do that. But it's just interesting. Communicate. And I believe it's always been God's desire to communicate with his creation. And as a result of his wanting to communicate with us, we have the Bible. We have his word. Our one sure guide in an unsure world. That's what it is. It is a sure guide in an unsure world. Do you think we live in an unsure world? If you don't, you haven't been listening to the news, or you haven't been listening to the reading the paper, or what's going on in the world. Someone said that the Bible, it is the heart of God in the words of God. So he gave us his heart in a word. This is what I think. This is what I want you to know. In 2 Peter 1:20, says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay? In no case does the message or revelation of the Bible originate with man. That's what he's saying. But always with God. The Scriptures always originated with God. It never originated with man. None of the writers ever sat down and said, I think I will write Deuteronomy today, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. I think I'll just write something today. Didn't happen that way. It was the Holy Spirit. Verse 21 says this. Peter explains it. For prophecy never came by the will of man. They didn't sit down and will it. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So they were moved. Their spirits. God speak to them. It's the Holy Spirit working with the spiritual and mental faculties of man. You are a spirit person. Right? God speaks to you through His Spirit, to your spirit. And I said, those of you that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you understand this. Right? You understand that. Those of you that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, you talk to God, God talks to you. If we say He doesn't talk to us, then I need to find out what's going on. What's happened to me? If He's talking to me and I'm not hearing. Well, ago we had a mic problem. My mic wasn't working, wasn't on. I told John, I said, don't make me have to shout, John. But he fixed it, got it running. So, we understand this. There is a knowing in your spirit that God is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit as your teacher and guide in what He wants you to do. Notice that it is teach, guide, and lead. Interesting. Different than what the enemy of our soul does, isn't it? I was thinking about this some years ago, and it came to me about the prophets of old. They're one of their main, what would you call it, badge, if you want, was the bull, right? Strong, tough, horns, that kind of a thing. But that's not what it is. We are not cattle guys. We are sheep guys, right? What do you do with cattle? If you're a country and western person, what do you do with cattle? You drive them, right? How many cowboys ever got out in front of a running herd of cattle and guided them? None of them. They got run over. So we're not cattle drivers. Sheep are led. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. So the key here is to hear His voice. We lead. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 3, first of all then, I urge petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority. Why? He goes on. So that we may lead a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. This is good. And it pleases God, our Savior. About that, I think that's very interesting. So the question is, I underline must on my little thing here, we must pray for those who are in authority over us. And I ask myself, why? And you might ask the same thing. If we want to reap the benefits of good government, which is a prized gift from God for the church's welfare and advancement of the gospel. We have found that out in our own government of late. Not too many years back, it was very important. We had the Ten Commandments in schools and on walls, and we had scripture verses everywhere and crosses in towns and cities. What are they now? They are an offense. We're still having some mic problems, aren't we? They are an offense to people. At least that's what they say. They're offensive to me. You need to take those down. We hear that a lot in this day and age which we live. Missionaries going to different... Whoa, are you okay there, John? That's all right. We'll get through this. It'll be fine. The missionaries in other countries, it's difficult. They have their problems. Because of the way their government deals with Christians. So it's important that we pray. Very important. Four things Paul Paul tells us that he wants us to do, that deed that he told Timothy. Number one was petition. So if I ask you, what does petition mean? Petition means to ask God, right? God urges us to ask, and he is pleased when we do, Scripture says. He said, I want you to ask. Number two, prayer. So what is prayer? I like the song we had today, this morning. As we pray, things happen as we pray. What is prayer? It's talking to God, right? It's talking to God. And it's anywhere, any time, in any way. I think about the any way time. Okay, in any way, anytime, any way. Any way is what? Could be your posture, how you come, whether you're sitting, whether you're laying down, whether you're kneeling, whether you're spread out, standing, holding up your hands. I always think about holding up my hands as I surrender, right? I surrender, Lord. Just hold them up. And number three, intercession. He tells Paul about intercession to Timothy. What is intercession? It's praying for someone else, right? We pray for somebody else. Like the kids that were in the other day, they're praying for us. The Bible tells us that Jesus constantly intercedes for us. Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25. It makes intercedes for us. How does he do that? He is our what? High priest. And what do you do when you go to the priest? In the Old Testament, or even in today, you want to confess your sins. You want to have him do something about them. Listen to you. Give you answers. Constantly intercedes. So he wants us to do the same. It's pleasing to God when we intercede for someone else. So you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about somebody else. God likes that. He wants you to do that. And that includes heads of state and others in authority. What are we doing when we do that? We're doing what Christ does for us. He intercedes for us, therefore we intercede for others on God's behalf. And number four was thanksgiving. Thanksgiving always pleases God. And the Bible specifically tells us to include thanksgiving when praying for those in authority. We need to thank God for those that we have when they're good. When they're not, we still need to pray for them. In fact, we are to pray respectfully for leaders. Scripture says, honor everyone. Fear God. Honor the emperor, or in our case, the president. 1 Peter 2:17 says. Okay, honor. Give praise to. We are to pray with the clear understanding that government authority is established by God. Romans 13, verse 1. That it's been established by God. How about all these bad guys? Did God establish them? I don't think he established them, but if you pray for them, they can change. The key to everything is change. Ecclesiastes said it like this. He said, a live dog is better than a dead lion. Why? What's the difference? He said, the live dog can change. The dead lion cannot. Change. If you got a bad one, ask God to change it. Things happen when you pray, if you pray, and you will need to pray. Pray for those that are in authority, okay? Proverbs 21:1 says, a king's heart is like streams of water in the Lord's hands. He directs it wherever he chooses. Streams of water in the Lord's hand. And the Lord directs it wherever he chooses. So I said, okay, I'm going to go back to number one, petition. So what am I going to do? I kind of see it as a person with a hose watering a garden, or just, you know. Have you ever seen a small child take a hose and water the garden? He waters everything. He don't leave anything out, even the things that shouldn't be watered. So what do? We go back to petition. We ask God to direct the king, right? God, we come to you. Direct this king. Let him do the right things for the people. And to intercession. Ask God to enable the king to carry out his duties with humility toward you and towards others. Ask God to do something. Ask God to change it. 1 Peter 5:5 says, James gives us a little bit different story. James tells us we don't have what we want from God. One is because you don't ask. He says you don't ask. James says you don't have. That's, therefore, you don't have anything. I said, well, okay. Then I'll ask. So then I ask. Then he turns around and says, well, when you do ask, you ask wrong. Well, make up my mind. You know, am I going to be able to or not? So how do we ask wrong? Bad attitudes. Coming with the wrong words, the wrong timing, the wrong, whole lot of wrong things that we can do that God says, I just can't answer that. I can't give you what you're asking for. So as we, as God's people, then we need to learn how to ask. Study God's word. He'll tell you and show you. The Holy Spirit, that is his job. That is his job. He is to lead and guide you into all truth. Right? That's his job. Jesus said that. And we need to learn how to receive too. We need to if he tells us, how many times has your mother told you something and she said, I've told you 100 times and you still don't do it? You're not going to receive it. You haven't been receiving it, so you're going to get go back around that loop again, aren't you? But we need to ask the Holy Spirit that he will teach us all things. Ask the teacher. He's your guide. We need a guide in the times and the area of which we live. Our government certainly needs to be guided. And we need to be talking to God about it. The things that are on our hearts. Jesus expects it. He expected it from his disciples. How many times have we read the scripture? He says, when they had a problem and he was standing right there, he said, why don't you do something? You do something. I've asked you and I've told you, you do it. Remember the boat in the water, sea and the winds and everything? And they went down and said, hey, Lord, we're going to go down with this boat. Don't you care? Of course he cared. He said, well, why didn't you guys do something about it? It was like a roaring dog, so to speak, the winds blowing. So what did Jesus say? He said, put a muzzle on it. If you read that, take a look at it. He said, put a muzzle on it. That'll stop it. And it did. Quiet, be quiet, be still. Put a muzzle on that noise. That stopped it. He's asking you to do that. Put a muzzle on it. You got a dog barking at your door, put a muzzle on it. Don't let the devil have it. We sang all these songs this morning. We need to sing them and believe them. I was reading quite a bit in Ecclesiastes this last week, and that's an interesting book. You got to read that. That's pretty cool. I got a lot of fun out of that. It gave us some good advice, I think, looking at the 8:11. It says, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. Where have we heard that lately? Rioting in the streets, things going on in all of our states, and the people are. He said, the crime doesn't get taken care of like it should. Quick and speedy trial, our congressional things we're supposed to have that our forefathers put in ours. We don't wait years before we try people. Try them right away. If we don't sentence those quickly, He said, the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. They riot in the streets. That's a good word. Verse 9:18, when I say there. Get up here. Oh, I see. Actually, 17 says, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Boy, have we heard that lately, haven't we? Quiet words of the wise are more heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. We've heard that from two different places, haven't we? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Right? I'm going to shoot into your territory? No, you're not. You're not going to do anything. I don't want to ask who's the fool. I don't want to make any motions in that direction. But I'm just saying we need to pray for those. Not just ours, but the other one too, right? You remember the story in the Old Testament about, I want to say, it was Sennacherib and Hezekiah. I want to say that. I'm not sure. Hezekiah being the king of the castle in Jerusalem. And he came up to put war against it. And he told the people, you need to give up. Don't believe what your kings and Congress, if you will, are telling you. Don't believe it. And you keep saying that your God's going to help you. He said, let me tell you something. All the other gods behind me, he said, they did not help them. We took those just as easy as we will take you. Don't believe it. Give up. Surrender. So the king takes that written word. He takes it into the church, if you will, there. And he lays it out before the Lord. And he says, Lord, take a look at this. This is what he says. This is what he's going to do. What should I do? Wise move on his part. Very wise move on his part. He needed some wisdom. He went to the only source of wisdom. Went to God. I like what the answer was that came back. Remember what the answer was? He says, don't worry about it. That he's not going to shoot one arrow. Not even one in this city. Not one. I like that. When you have an outside person wanting to shoot an arrow into Guam. What do you do? Lay it before the Lord, right? Maybe, hopefully, God will say, he'll not shoot an arrow in your city. I believe that. I believe God is very capable of doing that. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Another scripture somewhere talks about not to brag while you're putting on your armor. Don't be a braggart when you're putting on your armor. It's easy to do when you're putting it on. He said, when you're taking it off, that's another thing. That's when you want to talk about. After the battle, after things have been done, when you're taking your armor off, you can say, man, that was a rough go. I got dents all over this thing. You know, that's the time if you're going to do any bragging. I was thinking about who we should pray for, and I just put a list of things here. We can put a name in any one of these areas, and some of them you probably already know. I didn't put a name in. I just put a category title. I said president, vice president, cabinet members, senators, congressional representatives, Supreme Court, all of these areas. Every time I mention one of these, a name would come to your mind, I know, that you know. Military leaders, boy, do we need some wisdom from them right now. big shakeups in the military. The governors, shakeups in governors right now. State legislatures, oh man, Lord have mercy on us. Mayors, police chiefs, not one of these areas are. Sheriff, how about that one? They're on our hearts, on our minds, they're in our news. And they're probably more than these in the governments of our city, our state, our country that we need to pray for. Spend some time, think about them. Ask God to bless them, ask God to change them. We don't want to be like James says, you didn't even ask, you should have asked. We need to be more like Jesus told his disciples. They finally got the picture later on, you know. You guys do it. You guys handle it. Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm going to send you another helper just like me, another person. He'll lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. Take it to him. And he can speak and will speak to you. Personally, he'll speak to you. He spoke to these little kids the other day when they come up here and said some things. I just thank you parents for that. You're putting it in your kids. You're not going to get it out if you don't put it in. I talk to people all the time. We talk about kids and we talk about things and they say, gee, man, I wish my kids would do things like that or my grandkids. And I said, you don't put anything in, you don't get anything back out. We need to pray for them. Pray for each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have met us here and we have come into your house. And we've gathered in your name to worship you, to ask of you great things. You said to ask for things that we haven't even heard of yet. Ask. And Father, we're asking for kings and princes and cabinet members, military members, Father, police chiefs, Lord, everyone that we deal with, Lord, that we have a peaceable life because of you, because you have changed the situation, changed the environment, Father, changed the environment which we live, the violence, all the things that are going on, not just in our own state and country and but in the world as a whole. We know the end times are here. We know that. You said it would be. That it would come. But Lord, we know that when it does, that you are coming again to take those that belong to you, take your bride out before it all happens, Lord. We know the seasons and the times, but we don't know when. But we thank you. We ask you, Lord, to give us a peaceable life while we're here. And I thank you for your word, that you've kept it, Lord, all these many years, and you will continue to keep your word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You're dismissed.